The 22nd of 1918, there was a young man born in Alton, Illinois. His name was Robert Pershing Wadlow. Robert Pershing Wadlow, born in February of 1918. He was measured on the 27th of June of 1940, so he'd have been about 20-some-odd years old, and found to be 8 feet 11 inches tall. The tallest medically confirmed height of a man in our lifetime, and that's of course assuming the internet is accurate. Amen. And 8 feet 11 inches tall. Would you like to feed that baby and take care of him and buy furniture for him and all the rest? But today we're going to see a story in 1 Samuel chapter 17 about a man that was over 9.5 feet tall. 9.5 feet tall. We don't know how much he weighed. We do know that he was carrying a spear that had the head on the spear. Just the metal part weighed 15 pounds. The rest of the spear probably weighed another 30 or 40 pounds. He was wearing a coat of armor, mail it was called, which is just a, you know what mail is. It's sheets of metal that weighed 150 pounds, plus a helmet, a shield, protection for his thighs and so on. Needless to say, this fellow was big. His name was Goliath, Goliath of Gath, and sadly, he was not on the side of God's people. He was in the army of the Philistines, and probably every Sunday school child has heard the story of David and Goliath. We have to be very careful when we take a story like this and apply it to our lives, because there is an allegorical aspect here, but you cannot just assume that every trouble or every obstacle in your life can be classified as a giant. There's a couple of things that are particularly important to know. First of all, there are times when God puts things in our lives that may hinder us, but they came from God. I'll give you an example. Paul, the apostle, had what he called a thorn in the flesh, which we believe would have been very, very poor eyesight. And he asked God to take that away. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And that obstacle in Paul's life was not a giant. It was a gift from God. Sometimes the trials in our life are a gift from God. Secondly, sometimes there are trials and problems in our life that wouldn't fall into the classification of giants. But the things that we're going to see today, I'll try to make very clear what that giant really could represent and how he fits into our life. Now, David, the young man that fights this giant, as near as we can tell, he was still a teenage boy. He had not yet, for example, been tried out for a suit of armor. He did not have any armor of his own. He had God to protect him. Amen? He did not have a sword and a spear like the giant had. He had a sling and 5 smooth stones, and the Bible says that when he slung that first stone, that stone went into the forehead of that giant, and as someone said, that's the last thing to ever enter that giant's mind. Down he went. And that wasn't just David that shot that stone. I believe between the time it left the sling and the time it entered the giant's forehead, God had his finger on that stone. God defeated the giant. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm just going to read the first 11 verses, and then let's look at a description of giants this morning. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 1, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array before against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one, bearing a shield, went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, having seen the beginning of this story, we know the end. We know that the giant is killed by David. We know that even though he was a young man, that you gave him a deliverance because of his faith. Father, this morning, we come before you as a people in need of your deliverance. And Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith. Lord, we read story after story in the Bible of men that trusted you and saw you do great things. And Lord, today we desire to trust you more. We desire to be more obedient. We desire to be more devoted, to be more dedicated to you, and to worship you in spirit and in truth in a greater way. And Father, this morning I ask you to please bless this time we spend in the Bible. You know the needs of each of the people here today. God, I pray that this would be something that they would be able to see plainly and to use in their life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Two very clear applications of this story. One of them I want to give you, and I want you to remember this one. If nothing else, this is the most important application, I believe. It's very simply this, that you and I in our life, the Bible says that we were sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin was a giant, if you will. It was something that was going to send us to hell for all eternity. The Bible says in the book of Luke that there was a rich man, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. It's a real place. Jesus preached more about hell than about heaven. And no matter what we could have tried, in our strength, there is no way we can defeat that giant called sin. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot pay the price for our own sin. We cannot do anything to make up to God for the things we have done wrong. If you ever get stopped on the side of the road and the policeman comes to your window and he says, you were speeding, if you were to say to him, well, officer, I'll never speed again, he'd say, first of all, I don't believe you. And secondly, that's nice, but you were speeding and I have to write you a ticket. And there is a penalty associated with that ticket, because if you were speeding and the judge says you were guilty, then there's going to be a penalty assessed because of that guilt. Even if you and I could somehow clean up our lives, someone says, well, I'm going to be good from now on. Still, what remains is there is a penalty for sin. And we are all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that sin, that giant of that sin, bears down upon us. And if it were not for the deliverance of God, every single one of us would die and spend eternity in hell. But David, in one sense in this passage, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a young man who, we think of him as an innocent young man. He's a young man who trusts God, and he makes a bold statement later on in the chapter. He says, is there not a cause? And I want you to know that when Jesus Christ came to die on the cross, we were his cause. He died for us. And when he died for us, he paid the debt for our sin, as the song just wonderfully explained. And he took that sin upon himself on that cross, and he became sin for us, offering us the righteousness of God. And the Bible says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By grace are we saved through faith. Just as David had faith that giant would be delivered into his hand by God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he knew full well that you and I could receive him by faith. And we could be delivered from that giant of sin, if you will. We could be spared for all eternity. And folks, today, many of us in this room have done that. Amen? And we know the Lord Jesus Christ lives in our heart. And if there were no other application but that, that's a good application of this passage. But as I'm speaking to a predominantly saved crowd, most folks here today have received Christ as their Savior, I want to show you another application, and it's the one that we probably tend to run to, or at least tend to see first, and the one that we might teach in Sunday school or whatever. And it has to do with the fact that the giant is the enemy representative who would stop Israel from serving God. You see, the giant made Goliath made a misstatement here. He says in verse 8, he says that they're the servants to Saul. They're not really the servants to Saul. They're the servants of God. If you are a born-again Christian today, you should be a child and a servant of God. And our life should serve him. But the devil would put giants in our path. Things that would keep us from serving God. Now, I'm not talking about things like the thorn in the flesh that Paul dealt with. Again, God saw fit to leave that in place. But there are giants in our life that can be defeated. Now, number one, and if you look at what's happening here, the mentality of these people already is they are already defeated. At the end of verse 11, it says that Saul and Israel were dismayed and greatly afraid. They had already decided, we don't know what to do about this. This guy is too big for us. This is something that we can't handle. And folks, the devil, in your life, he wants to get you and I to that place to where we would say, I just can't do it. The expectation is too great. The obstacle is too large. My strength is too weak. The devil would like for the born-again Christian to be in a state of dismay, as he says there in verse 11, to be in a state of fear, not knowing what to do next. And had it not been for David coming along and showing these folks what God could do, they'd have stood there on the side of that mountain for quite some time and never really faced that giant. Please understand what I'm saying. Let me make it very, very clear. If there's an obstacle in your life, something that is keeping you from serving God as you ought to serve him, I want you to know God can remove that obstacle. You say, Pastor, it's big. It's strong. It has overwhelmed me. I'll say it again. God can defeat that giant. I'm going to show you some fun things about giants here in this passage, and there are several of them, so I'm going to have to go through them kind of quickly. You might not remember them all, but they all begin with the letter O, and just some things about giants. And first of all, and there's no particular reference here, I'll just give you the description. Giants are ordinary. Now, what do I mean by that? Obviously, they weren't in this day, a whole bunch of giants running around, but my thought is this. You and I are going to face giants in our life. It's an ordinary thing. Let me say it this way. If you're trying to serve God, the devil's going to try and stop you. Amen? That's simple stuff. If you begin to be very effective for God, then I think the devil is going to do his best to stop you. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't want to get too deep into this, but I wonder sometimes if the devil doesn't have a demon set aside for some folks, and he's going to use that against them any way he can. God is worthy of service, but the devil is not going to let you serve God. He's going to try and stop you. Giants are ordinary. These are things that we're going to face. And they are things that can be defeated. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. Giants are ordinary. Let's see some more things about giants in the passage if we could. Look in chapter 17 and verse 4, 1 Samuel 17, 4. It says, there went out a, what's that word, champion. Now, I'm not trying to contradict myself, but there is in one sense, while giants are commonplace, we're all going to face them. Giants, on the other hand, in our life, they seem to be one of a kind. That word champion means this fellow is excellent above his peers. He is extraordinary. He is uniquely strong, and the description of him bears that fact out of how strong he was. And have you ever seen a situation in your life and you thought to yourself, no one has ever faced this but me? And this is huge. You might see something happening in your life. There may be a sin that besets you, or there may be a weak spot in your life. It could be a lot of different things, but in your life, different things that keep you from serving God as you should, and you say to yourself, I'm the only one that has this problem, and it's big. Well, that's the way this giant looked to these people. He was a champion. He was one of a kind. Satan will send the best he has against you, and when you see it, sometimes it amazes you at what you face. The obstacle can truly be indescribable in some sense. So the size of this giant was just out of this world, unquestionably something they had never seen before. And I've already given you some of the specifics, but let's just look at the obvious things here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. First of all, this giant was wearing a coat of armor that weighed, depending on who you ask, somewhere between 125 and 175 pounds. That must have been a strong fellow to walk around wearing that much armor. Carrying a spear that probably weighed 50 or 60 pounds altogether. Wearing a helmet. He's got a shield on his chest. Another fellow walks in front of him carrying another shield. He's well protected. He has clearly got the advantage against anything Israel can throw against him. You may see things in your life that would try to hinder you from serving God, and you look at this thing and you say to yourself, there's nothing like this. Nobody else faces this problem I've got, and it is beyond my ability. Well, that's okay. It's not beyond God's ability. Amen? Giants are obvious. Giants are obnoxious. Look at verse 8. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? He says, am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. Later on, he says in verse 10, I defy the armies of God. Giants make trouble in our lives. Giants make themselves known. They don't go away. When you think you've got it licked, here it comes again. When you feel like you're starting to get the upper hand, then the giant raises up and turns out you didn't have the upper hand at all. And they won't go away. In verse 16, it says that this went on for 40 days. It says there, the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Until something is done about it, that giant's still going to be there. He's still going to be there somehow to try to stop you from serving God. They're obnoxious. They're obstacles. Look at verse 9. It says, if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. They're obstacles. And here's what I mean by that. You cannot go around them. You cannot ignore them. You have to deal with them. And until they are dealt with, they will keep you from serving God as you ought. Let's go back to my first application. Until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can try anything you want and you won't get saved. Someone says, I know, I'll get baptized. That won't do it. Someone says, I'll join a church. That won't do it. Someone says, I know what I'll do to save myself. I'll really do a lot of good works to offset the bad works. The Bible says that won't do it. You've got to deal with the sin to be saved. If you are saved and you're trying to serve God, and here comes whatever giant it is, and I would trust God would make it clear to you what the giants are in your life. I'll just say this to you. God wants us to serve him, and God will enable us to serve him. If you were here in Sunday school, I was telling you a story about when Israel, Judah, I should say, Benjamin and Judah, they came back to Jerusalem, and they were going to rebuild the temple. And they had been there not too very long. They just had laid the foundation. And some people made a false accusation against them And the king issued a decree that the construction was to stop. Now, that would have looked like a pretty good-sized giant. In other words, they wanted to rebuild the temple, but the man, the king, that had the power over the region said, no, you can't do that. The Jews, sadly, said, okay. And they went and built houses, and they sat around and waited. And 15 years went by, and they just waited. And no temple was being built, no work was being done. They said, well, we don't know what to do. Folks, God can defeat a giant. And the prophet came to them, and I talked about this in Sunday school, Haggai, and he said, it's time to build. And they listened to him, and they started building again, and they finished the temple in just a couple of years. They could have done that sooner, but they chose to wait until the prophet came and reminded them it was more important to serve God than to serve themselves. A giant that was easily defeated once they listened to God and did what God said to do. But you've got to deal with the obstacle. You can't just ignore it. It is an obstacle. The giants are outspoken. He says, I defy in verse 10. Giants are ominous. In verse 11, they were fearful and they were greatly afraid, the Bible says. It says in verse 24 that the men of Israel fled from him and were sore afraid. So look at all these things you see about giants here. They're one of a kind. They're obvious. They're obnoxious. They're obstacles. They're outspoken. They're ominous. But there's one more thing you need to know about giants. And before I tell you that, let me remind you once again of the application here. I hope that all of us in this room who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior desire to serve Him. And I hope we desire to serve Him not just a little bit, but to serve Him with our whole heart and our whole life. Now, it may be that God has called you into a full-time ministry. There may be somebody in this room that God says, you need to be a missionary to a foreign field. Let me just tell you by experience, that would be a tremendous blessing. Missionaries that I know are some of the happiest people in the world. Wouldn't you agree, Brother Mendez? Amen. Happiest people I've ever met in my life. Not that they don't have any obstacles or giants in their life, but they're just happy people. They're serving God. You can see it on their face. Last Sunday, Brother Nelson Dorr preached for us. He's a happy individual. And he encourages us to be happy in our Christianity as well. You cannot be happy in your Christianity unless you're in God's will. So God may be calling some of us to be full-time Christian servants, and there may be a giant the devil has put in the way there. I want you to know that giant can be defeated. There may be some folks here that God has called you to a secular job of some sort. You work maybe in industry or in service or whatever, and you have been called to that job. But that doesn't mean you're not a servant of God. You're still a part of a local church. In fact, you have something that I don't have as much of, and that is you see a whole lot more lost people than I do. I got to go find them. They're all around you. You see them every day at work. And there are also people that might be Christians that are out of God's will that are around you, and you see these people. God puts you there to reach them. Amen? He didn't just put you there to get a paycheck. He put you there to reach those people. Amen? And so the devil's going to try and stop you from that somehow. When our church has visitation on Tuesday nights, I know some of you can't be here, but some of you can. And there are some giants that stand between us and going out into our community. 2 weeks ago Tuesday, Brother Greg Dahlman came out. It was just me and him. And so we just picked the neighborhood and went knocking doors. We had a good time. And that night I was particularly anxious for some reason, and for really no reason at all. We began knocking doors. We had fun, talked to some people. It was a blessing. It's not easy to go do that. There's some giants of fear, some giants of doubt that may keep you out of that. But I'm just telling you, come try it. It's not that bad. Say, Pastor, I did it once and nobody got saved. You didn't say that right. You did it once and a bunch of folks heard the gospel. Amen? Right. And when the gospel goes forth, that's what matters. If God sees fit to save some of them, that's good. But the gospel going out is what counts. There's some giants that will try and stop you and I from serving God. I read you what the giants are, but there's one more thing about them that you need to know. They're ordinary. You all got one. They're one of a kind. They're champions. They're obvious. They're obnoxious. They're obstacles. They're outspoken. They're ominous. But they're also overrated. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there that day? Now again, I can't read the passage to you for the sake of time, but David comes down to the camp. David wasn't even old enough to be in the army. He was watching sheep. He's a young man. He comes down to the camp, and the whole army of Israel is lined up on the hillside, scared to death. And David says, somebody's got to fight him. I'll do it. Now, let me remind you of something. You remember the message we looked at? We saw where David played the harp for Saul, and it changed, it refreshed him. And I mentioned to you that the reason he was able to do that is because he had spent time with God. When he was out there watching the sheep, he spent time with God. He sang to God. He played the harp for God. He was prepared when the time came. And by the way, it might be easier to kill a 9-foot giant than it would be to calm the heart of a demon-plagued king. But David was the man. His presence, his time in the presence of God prepared him for that. His time in the presence of God also prepared him to face this giant. Read Ephesians 6 and you'll find something. If you go up against the devil as your enemy without proper equipment, you're in big trouble. So I'm not just saying just walk out there in a foolish state of hope. And I'm saying God can do this. Giants are overrated. And I'll just tell you the story and we're done. David went out. He wasn't wearing any armor. He wasn't carrying a spear. He wasn't carrying a sword. Wasn't carrying a shield. Didn't have an armor bearer. He didn't look very impressive. He's just wearing what he wore as a shepherd. One slice, and that giant could have cut him in half. One spear would have poked him through and killed him in an instant. But he just did what he knew to do. He took the stone, the same one he had used to defend the sheep, the same sling he had used to defend the sheep, and he spins it around, and the giant falls down. And all of a sudden, I'm sure countless soldiers on the hillside said to themselves, well, I could have done that. But the difference is they didn't do it, did they? After the giant was laying on the ground dead, and David walked up and popped his head off, well, he wasn't very impressive anymore, was he? Now, in your life, some of us have faced giants in the past, and God has given us the victory, and we just take it for granted. Yeah, that was a giant, and God took care of it. No big deal. If you're here today and you're saved, I would remind you, don't forget it's a big deal. And I hate to be so colloquial, but the point is, when Christ died for your sins, that was the greatest thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. The giants that have been defeated in your life, they don't seem so impressive anymore because God took care of them already. It's that next giant that you got to face. That's the one that impresses us. That's the one that's obnoxious. That's the one that's outspoken. That's the one that's the obstacle that you got to go and do something about. But folks, if God could kill that last giant, can't he kill the next one? Amen? Nelson Doar said something in his message the other day that just stuck with me about steps of faith. Steps of faith. One more step, one more step, one more step. And the steps you've already taken worked out just fine. Made a commitment, God met the need, no problem. It's that next step that's the challenge. There's some giant in your life, and he's right there in front of you, and you got to deal with him. But you got to deal with him by letting God deal with him. Don't make the mistake that the army made and said it can't be done. That's what the devil wants you to think. We teach this in Sunday school to little children, and they've all colored that little picture. We had this last year, if you remember the banner we had for VBS, the big giant and David down there, the little David. We all know the story. But folks, it's a story of our life as well. Don't let the giant win. Go to God, get the strength, defeat him. Let's stand and pray.